everybody. I wanted to welcome all of you to my class, the CLT and What You Need to Know. And I'd like to introduce you to my guest, Mr. Jeremy Tate. My name is Lee Benz, and I'm the home scholar. My mission is to help parents homeschool high school. And part of that is understanding the tests. And I'm very excited to introduce you to the CLT, which is an alternative to the SAT or ACT. You're really going to want to learn more about this test so that you are forewarned and forearmed on how it might be a better option for you and your children. So that is my goal for today, to help you learn everything that you need to know about the CLT moving forward. Again, I wanted to introduce my guest, Mr. Jeremy Tate. He's the founder and president of the Classic Learning Test, the CLT. And if you'd like to get more information when we're done, their website is cltexam.com, cltexam.com. So welcome, Jeremy. Thank you for being here.
Lee, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for the invite.
Yeah, you bet. So I've been recommending that parents look at the CLT for quite a while. I know that your test is a newer test, and so it's making its way into the vocabulary of homeschool parents and high school parents alike. But I just wanted to start off by asking you if you could share with me what the CLT is and why you felt like there needed to be an alternative to the SAT or ACT.
Yeah, Lee, thanks so much. And I always like to start off with a disclaimer of like, I get it if you feel like, man, you know, what could be more boring to talk about than standardized testing? Sometimes we joke that the only thing more boring than a standardized test is hearing somebody talk about a standardized test. But, you know, the role of these tests in American education really cannot be over-exaggerated. The role of the SAT and the ACT, typically we think of these as, you know, just college entrance exams as they have been historically. But really, and more, these are tests that drive, dictate mainstream curriculum, academic focus as well. The story behind the SAT and ACT is a really fascinating story. I'll give a kind of 2-minute super abridged version. But really, you had the College Board, which I would say right now is the most influential organization in American education. They own the SAT, the PSAT, all the AP tests, AP curriculum. College Board launches in 1900, kind of a conglomeration of the Ivy League schools coming together. In 1926, taking some technology that they used for the Alpha test in World War I, they used that test to launch the first SAT. And then after World War II, with the GI Bill, there was suddenly basically more college applicants than seats available for the first time. So colleges become very competitive, very selective, very quickly, especially like the Ivy Leagues. And so an SAT score and an ACT score, well, starting in 1959, an ACT score became very, very important. And for a long time, the SAT, even when I was in high school in the 1990s, the SAT said, you know, you can't really study for this test. This is an aptitude test. It's not based on what you learn in school. The ACT launched with the exact opposite message. They said, wait a minute, it's not fair that you should be, you know, taking a test that's based on aptitude. It should be based on what you learn in school. That, of course, raises the question of what school are we talking about? Public school, classical school, a Catholic school, a Jewish school, Montessori school. And what they meant then and what they mean now is a public school. And so in 2015, this kind of all came to a head with really SAT and ACT both embracing the Common Core standards and aligning with Common Core. And so essentially 2015, I was running a small SAT, ACT prep company. I was watching all of this happening. The reason SAT and ACT aligned with Common Core was not because these were new, awesome academic standards. The reason they actually aligned was because SAT and ACT were finding new markets for their tests by working with lobbyists to push legislation that forced students to take their tests as a graduation requirement from high school. And so that's what they were focused on. They were focused on that as a way to, you know, because the test optional movement was growing. But as soon as SAT and ACT aligned with the Common Core standards, especially within the homeschool world, parents weren't happy. If you know anything about Common Core, I would say it's anti-fiction. They have an arbitrary requirement that you can't go over 30% fiction by senior year. Very strange. The math to me is just all kinds of weird. I still don't understand what they're doing with Common Core math. And I think it's biased towards religion as well. The Common Core recommended reading list makes this very, very clear. I heard one scholar say that it was the most anti-Christian curricular adjustment in U.S. history. And so there was a bit of an uproar when SAT and ACT both aligned with the Common Core, and CLT launched really as an alternative to that.
Wow, that was great. Yeah, the test optional movement that we're seeing, in part because of the pandemic, in part as a reflection of the SAT-ACT problem. I think that what parents don't realize, especially the homeschool parents that I work with, is that test optional doesn't mean that it's optional if you want scholarships. They Very want true. Some sort of an assessment of whether you're worthy of scholarships. If you want to get into an honors program, which usually has additional scholarships as well, then they want to see a test. And there are some colleges that don't require tests of others, but will require tests of public school kids that are not accredited, because there are unaccredited public schools and also unaccredited homeschoolers or private schoolers. So even though the school university may be test optional, that does not mean that it's test optional for you, especially if you want scholarships, which is one of the reasons why in the past year I have been recommending that people look at the CLT, because they do have a little bit more of a history of having a computer-based assessment, a standardized test, rather than paper and pencil like the ACT and SAT. So I was wondering, Jeremy, if you could explain what your test looks like from the person experiencing it. What
have you covered? That's great. Yeah, so students log in. The CLT, we try to simplify everything. Right? SAT is confusing. It's like 179 questions, but it's 1600 points. And you're like, what does each point stand for? It's all very vague. So CLT is 120 questions. It's 120 points, and it's 120 minutes. So it makes it very easy to understand. 120, 120, 120. Now, in terms of actual mechanics, the CLT is one third verbal reasoning. And so you're reading passages. In terms of mechanics, actually pretty similar to an SAT, but the source material is very different. And so instead of reading, honestly, passages I've read about penguins in Antarctica or mustard seed or actually a Bernie Sanders op-ed last two Junes ago that they had on the CLT, you're reading Frederick Douglass, MLK, Jane Austen, Thomas Aquinas, C.S. Lewis, Chesterton. We're trying to put students in front of the very best of what has been thought and said. That is our goal. After you have the verbal reasoning section, you have the grammar writing section. So for the grammar writing, again, mechanically, not totally different from the SAT, but the source material, again, is going to be similar to what I just mentioned. The quantitative reasoning is quite a bit different. So people who have looked at the CLT, who are coming from the world of standardized testing, and maybe they have been in this world for some time, they look at the CLT math and they go, oh, okay. Kind of like the old SAT. So a lot of people don't realize that literally the SAT could not be further away from what the test was, especially in the 80s or 90s, from what it is now. Typically, if you're over the age of like 35, you think SAT, like, oh yeah, like analogies. No, there's no analogies on the SAT. They're long gone. The SAT is a very different test. In fact, the only things that have really stayed the same is the fact that the test is still offered in English and the fact that the test still uses the acronym SAT, but even that, they now say, doesn't actually stand for anything. At one time, it stood for the Scholastic Aptitude Test. At another time, it stood for the Scholastic Achievement Test. They couldn't decide what they want it to be, and so it's just the SAT, and it's not really clear what it's even measuring. At CLT, it's pretty clear what we're measuring. It's basically, can you read and understand the best of what has been thought and said in terms of the intellectual tradition that gave birth to America. And so that's what we want to get a sense for. And I think some of the best colleges in the country, schools like Hillsdale, Grove City, Christopher Newport, CLT is not only accepted, it's actually the preferred test at this point.
Awesome. That's really good. So I should have said this right off the bat, but for those of you who are listening in, if you want to chime in with any questions, we'll be getting to your questions very soon. So you can definitely chime in with that. So how many questions are on the test then? And how are students performing? How do you standardize that test?
Great. Yeah. So an average score on the CLT is typically in the low to mid 70s. So again, it's 120 points. That does not mean it's a raw score. And so when you make a standardized test, every test has to be the exact same caliber as every other test. And so that's the difficulty, of course, in launching a new standardized test, is that you cannot get really, really good what are called psychometrics until you've had many, many iterations over many years and several thousand students. And so at this point, well over 50,000 students since we've launched have taken the CLT. And so at this point, it is a test that most colleges, in fact, we realized just today, the state of Florida, thank you, Governor DeSantis, is accepting the CLT as an alternative to the SAT and ACT. It is no longer a question of people saying, well, the CLT has not had enough test takers. We have, it is every bit as standardized, and we've got big, long, I think, kind of boring psychometric data, research to show that the test is a valid and normed measure of academic achievement.
Mm-hmm. I think in this environment where colleges may be test optional as well, mm-hmm. if you do have a CLT and you can explain that they have been standardized, they should, in theory, be able to use that. Even if they hadn't considered the CLT previously, the college will understand what standardized tests mean and may accept that in lieu of other standardized tests, because they do have a way to compare one standardized test to another to see, in general, the performance of students. So what kind of preparation do you suggest for students in order to maximize their score? Because it can be very intimidating for a student to go in and take a test they've never seen before. Maybe they, their older siblings didn't take it. They don't know anything about it.
Yeah. So I love that question, Lee. A couple things with that. And so, one, there are three or four at least full length, totally free CLT practice tests. It just takes 10 seconds to create an account. You just need an email and make up a password to create an account. And then you can get in there and you can just take a test and it'll give you a score. And you can see how that even compares to an SAT or an ACT score. So that is totally free. CLT, I mean, look, it's a racket that's been going on for years. The test prep industry, in addition to College Board being a $1 billion empire, the test prep industry is even more lucrative than that. And so CLT has pushed back very strongly against that. And so again, when I'm not that old, I just turned 40, but when I was in high school, they were still saying, you can't really study for the SAT. The SAT test prep machine empire, it really started to take off actually in 2005 when the SAT made a major revision. At that point, they actually went up to this very goofy 2,400 point scale that they have since gotten rid of. And now they're back down to the 1600 point scale. But the new test is they made it an achievement test, again, which is not an aptitude test. It's based off mastery of a body of content, lends itself more to prep. And so at the end of the day, with the SAT, whoever has the most money to spend on prep is going to kind of win, right? So CLT, we wanted to go back, in fact, affirm actually what the SAT was doing early on. Of giving students a chance to shine regardless of where they're coming from.
Oh, that's wonderful. So there's three CLT practice exams available on your website, cltexam.com.
That's right. They're all inside the CLT student account. So again, okay. All you need is an email address and you can create an account, no charge at all.
Okay, create a student account. I'm writing that down so I remember. Okay, wonderful. So then what can you tell us about the other tests in the CLT suite of exams? I know that the PSAT is often given before the SAT and people hope they'll get scholarships. Do you have something like that as well?
Yeah, so the CLT-10 is actually our most popular test by far. One is that it's free, which that helps. And so there's no more this year. We just had the last one in April, but they'll be kicking off. There's at least three every year. And so, of course, the PSAT historically is the way to get national merit recognition, whether it be like an award recipient or honorable mention or whatever else. The CLT-10, totally free, and it's a test that students take in ninth and 10th grade. And really what we do is we hone in on the 10th grade, give students an opportunity to really shine. And what we do is we actually give students a $2,500 one-time scholarship. We actually last pre-COVID days, we're hand delivering checks. It was really fun to schools and to homeschool communities for students who were at the very in the very tops, students who were basically in the kind of the top 1% of that. And at the time, you could take those checks to any CLT partner school. Now you can actually use that to any school at all, even if they don't accept the CLT. So if you want to go to a school, which I hope you don't, like Carnegie Mellon, they've been the meanest to CLT, actually. I don't know why. One of the few schools that says, we don't want to talk to you right now. But we will even fund a scholarship to a school like Carnegie Mellon, $2,500. And that is funded by CLT as well.
Wow, okay. So the CLT 10, then, when do you recommend that that is given?
Yeah, so again, it's a free assessment. Students typically start taking the CLT 10 in the beginning of ninth grade. And again, you can take a few different shots at it. And then usually students do the best at the end of the 10th grade year, usually April of that year.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, if you did become the National Merit Scholar with the PSAT, it is also worth $2,500. It just happens to be that many colleges may award a full tuition scholarship or have additional scholarships available if you're a National Merit, but the actual dollars from the College Board is the same for the CLT 10. Did I get that right?
It is, and it's actually a lot. It's far more likely that you would actually secure scholarship dollars through the CLT-10 than you would through the PSAT. Where
Oh, by sheer numbers.
oh yeah, and it's not even close. I mean, I think it's something like one in every 6,000 actually get any money from National Merit, and so way, way, way better odds. But I mean, it's a difficult test. I mean, the College Board, they create what I call feel good assessments, right? I mean, literally, if you look at the concordance chart from just the old SAT pre-2016 to the new SAT, everybody gets an additional 70 points, right? Just because of the new concordance chart of them just kind of saying, yeah, the new test is just going to be a little easier. And in fact, that's really the way SAT and ACT have competed against each other, is by making their test just a little bit easier, which means it becomes the easier path to scholarship dollars. CLT of the three, it is the hardest test, but I think for that reason, colleges, again, Grove Cities, University of Dallas, Benedictine, Christopher Newport, Hillsdale, they love recruiting CLT test takers because they know that a CLT test taker tends to be, I mean, look, 40% of our students are homeschool students. These are often students that blow the typical 17, 18-year-old high school student out of the water in terms of academic formation and ability. So I think for that reason, colleges have been really, really eager to recruit CLT test takers.
Right. So, where is the CLT offered for students? Where do they take the test?
That is a great question. So the CLT is offered in your house, in your basement, in your room, wherever you would like to take it. And so this is a remotely proctored test. If this freaks you out, it freaks me out too. But look, I mean, technology is amazing. We did not create any of this technology. We utilized existing technology. And so when you take the CLT, you are videoed, right? We do all the reviewing ourselves. It's actually reviewed after you take the test. It's crazy stuff. So, we have the ability to view the student testing, also view your screen. And we can also do keystroke violations. And so, for example, a student cannot use numbers taking the CLT. There's no calculator allowed. And so, any use of numbers would be a keystroke violation, and the test gets voided for that reason. And so, what's really wild is we're actually able to offer a test that is far more secure doing remote proctoring than you ever could do without remote proctoring. I mean, it is really, really kind of amazing, kind of weird Big Brother technology. It kind of freaked me out, honestly, but it was early days of COVID, and we're like, we can either just pack up and go home, or we can be innovative and creative and try to do something kind of different. And that's how we rolled this out. And, you know, it's interestingly, we have a big, we actually have a ton of test takers in Alaska. I was just there a few weeks ago. But we were having students, they were driving like 5 hours across Alaska to take a test at a testing site. And we thought, and this is pre-COVID, we thought, man, we can do a lot better than that, you know? Yeah. And so we started offering the CLT as a remotely proctored test pre-COVID, actually in February of last year, before things got kind of crazy in March.
Right. I think that's fantastic. And for those parents listening in, if you don't know, the AP test by College Board has been offered remotely during the pandemic, and they've had they've had some very good successes, but they've also had some struggles because with the AP, you have to upload and download and all these other things, which is very difficult, especially if you're working from your phone or whatever, and it's been stymieing people. Whereas with the CLT, you're just kind of filling in an online form. Am I right there, Jeremy?
That's correct. And Lee, you're far more gracious to College Board. You're far more gracious than I'm willing to be. Look, College Board, I mean, I was a college counselor at a Christian school for years, mm-hmm. and I had to call College Board all the time. And it was a disaster. You're transferred to five different people. You finally get a hold of somebody and they're annoyed that you're on the phone.
Yes.
And basically what's going on is they're a nonprofit that is dependent on big donors, and they're dependent on state contracts. And what that actually means is that they're not very concerned about pleasing any customer at all, you know, which is why the student experience is horrible often. You know, it's a very bad experience. CLT, we don't exist at all in those. We don't take money from donors. We don't exist at all working with lobbyists to push legislation that forces kids to take our tests. We exist entirely in the free market. If we serve students well, we will keep existing. And so that's why we are here. I mean, we say internally almost every day that we want to be kind of the Chick-fil-A of standardized testing. I don't know if you've experienced this, Lee.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I go to Chick-fil-A way more than I should. It's kind of a problem. But like, you can show up and you're like, man, I'm going to be here for 2 hours. The line is so long. And then it's like 90 seconds later and you've got your nugget and shakes and they get the sauce right. They've kind of mastered customer service. And that's what we're doing from a testing standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is so great. And it was a huge relief to me during the mm-hmm. pandemic that we did have that option to recommend to people. I was discussing just today, somebody's SAT test was canceled due to the pandemic. And I said, well, they got to get approval of the federal government, the state government, the school district, the school principal, and the test. And all of those things have to come together. And you kind of skirt past that with the CLT, because all you really need is Wi-Fi, and it doesn't even have to be in your home. It can be located somewhere else.
That's awesome. There's the comment here. This sounds amazing. We love Chick-fil-A. That's fantastic. I'm in good company, it sounds like.
That's right. That's right. So let's talk about the comfort level. How can you get students to feel more comfortable taking this test as far as, you know, familiarity with the online way that it's given? And how can you help parents to be more comfortable knowing that the child's screen is, you know, being beamed over to you, right?
Yeah.
So if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, the CLT story is such an unlikely story. You know, we started off, and some people describe it as kind of David versus Goliath and Goliath, because, you know, we went up with two of the biggest superpowers in American education. And so in many ways, CLT is a grassroots movement of parents who want to reclaim what is good and true and beautiful and timeless in American education, the kind of education I think our grandparents often got that is in no longer a reality. And so with that, we are in dialogue constantly with parents. We have a community of parents. We have an academic board that we are accountable to as well. And so I understood, I'm a dad of five, almost six, come September 30th.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I understand when we first rolled this out, I'm like, I don't know if I like this. Like, we're gonna review the student and we got the video thing going on. And but it is a way to offer one super convenient testing where you don't have to take your kid anywhere. You got to make sure that, yeah, there's good Wi-Fi. But we have got an incredible team, very professional staff. The videos are actually discarded after we do the reviews, and so they are eliminated. And I think, like with any company that you love, Chick-fil-A, hopefully CLT, there's a trust element at the end of the day. That CLT, I think this is the case with any company that we do business with, right? You have to believe in what they're doing, that they're doing something good in the world. And that we have found that the more we get to know homeschool families, explain why we're doing what we're doing, talk to them about the reality of mainstream American education. And this idea that the College Board, and in fact, many of you who are on this, you may know the name Robbie George. He's become a friend. He's, I would say, the most, one of the most, certainly the most influential conservative academic in America. But he said that to me one time that the College Board has been the most influential entity in driving the radical secularization of American education. And
And
what
who's
we're
that
talking
quote from again?
Robbie P. George. So he's a professor at Princeton University. And you think about, what did your grandparents get? What did your great parent grandparents get in terms of education? They were learning grammar, rhetoric, penmanship. All of these things are entirely gone, right now for mainstream education, but they're being preserved by homeschool families. They're being preserved in the homeschool arena. And CLT wants to be, we really want to be a test that you as homeschool families can look at and kind of call your own.
That's excellent. So the CLT is normally done in 11th grade, and the CLT 10 can be taken in 9th grade and again in 10th grade. Did I get that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And then with the College Board, they really like to collect your information and distribute that to colleges. And in some ways, that's nice because then for homeschoolers who have been like off the grid, it's nice that colleges know you're there so they can send you marketing materials and you know that they're eager and willing to accept homeschoolers. But we also don't want our private information shared with companies that we don't want to have our private information. So can you explain how does the CLT exam handle interactions with colleges, giving colleges scores, helping them to reach out to students who have taken the CLT?
Yeah, Lee, that is such a good question. When we launched the CLT in 2015, my own background, even as a college counselor, I was not aware of how all of this works, right? The College Board, in some ways, you could think of it as a massive data mining company, okay? And so
Very accurate.
they work with lobbyists, they push legislation. Every kid has to take the test at some point. They get everybody's information, they sell that to colleges, and that's how colleges do the recruiting. That's how the whole thing works, right? So we were 3 or 4 months into CLT when the first college reached out and said, "Hey, how can we re recruit CLT test takers? You clearly have homeschoolers and students from these great classical schools." And so what we did is we created an option for students to get recruited. And so there is a green "Get Recruited" button when they in their student profile. About two-thirds of our students participate in that. About a third of our students do not. It's great when students do because you get recruited and because colleges are really excited to recruit CLT test takers. But we also want to be sensitive. And so if a student hits, toggles that off to not get recruited, your phone number and your email address, that never goes to any college at all. We've never had a breach of data privacy or anything like that. And so we understand that concern. I, as a homeschool dad, understand that concern as well, and we want to respect data privacy concerns and also just make you aware that unless you're really careful when you take the SAT or ACT or even CLT to be clear of like, no, we don't want to get recruited, then otherwise you're going to get probably a boatload of marketing material because look, colleges are very hungry, especially, and this is interestingly, and you talk about this, but 25 years ago, colleges kind of thought homeschool students were kind of weird. They didn't really know what to do with them. Right now, I would argue right now that they're the most highly sought after demographic group of any, for a number of reasons. They're off the chart academically. They tend to not get in trouble. So it's a huge burden for colleges when students come and they do bad things and they get arrested. And like, they know that with homeschool students that they're generally going to be like good kids who come to school and they do the right stuff. And so for that reason, they've gone from like, we don't know about these kids to like, we want more of them right away. So you will get flooded with marketing material after taking really any of the big assessments.
Right. And so for the parents listening in, I do recommend that you click the option to get recruited, because in most states, many states, homeschoolers work completely off the grid and colleges don't even know that your student exists or that they're homeschooled. And as Jeremy was saying, we do have higher standardized test scores across the board. Even if your child's isn't as high as your neighbor's homeschooled child, the statistics bear out that homeschoolers score higher than they would have otherwise in a public school. And so you're very desirable for the social reasons that Jeremy was pointing out, for the academic reasons regarding these test scores. Colleges want to know you're there. And if you can provide what makes colleges successful, an engaged student who knows how to learn, isn't getting in trouble, stays put at the college for 4 years, graduates on time, they're much more likely to give you scholarships just for being you. So I do think it's very helpful to get recruited by those colleges so that you get on their board so that they know you exist. Okay, so then the next question is, with the SAT or ACT, there's the option for parents to get accommodations on that. So if they have a special needs or learning disabled student, dyslexia, ADHD, blind, deaf, anything, they would be able to get accommodation on the SAT or ACT. Is that accommodation available through the CLT?
We do. We have not always met 100% of accommodations. Students who are deaf or blind, we haven't always met 100% of accommodations, but we're very close. And so the requirement is a 6-week to submit accommodation requests with the necessary documentation.
Fast.
Yeah. Yes. Better than the competition for sure. And look, typically if it's 2 weeks, if it's something like an accommodation for time and a half or double time, we will meet that for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's very encouraging. So I know that when I've worked with parents that have requested accommodation for the SAT or ACT, it has historically been extremely expensive, time-consuming, frustrating, hit your head against the wall. And after the huge college admission cheating scandal, it became twice as difficult to get accommodation. Would you say that the process of getting accommodation is the same for you as it is for the SAT? Or how does a regular parent, a regular homeschool parent, achieve accommodation for their child on the CLT?
Yeah, so I always say first, just call, because I think you will see the CLT difference just by calling. When we have a great support staff, we are excited to talk, especially to homeschool families. In fact, our director of customer service is a homeschool mom. Her son goes to Patrick Henry. Her daughter goes to Union University in Tennessee. And so, I think that what you'll find is that you'll be able to connect with people who are like-minded, who understand where you're coming from. And we want to be here to walk you through kind of every step of the way to make sure that you have really a wonderful experience. And you know, Lee, we're over 90% of students on our surveys who report a better overall experience with CLT than what they have with either the SAT or ACT. And I mean, if you think about,
imagine that not being the case. If you're saying just call, this is not the experience that we have with the College Board. They never ever say just call.
Yeah, I mean, we're a family. You know, we serve, you know, per year 30 to 50,000 students. They're trying to serve millions, you know, internationally, globally. It's going to be, very, very hands-on. And we really want to walk you through kind of the process so you have total clarity when test day arrives.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so they can contact you through CLT Accommodations at CLTExam.com.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So if you were a parent of a ninth grader and you were looking at tests going forward and you did not know where your child was going to end up going to college, or maybe they had six colleges and half of them were private schools and half of them were public schools, what would your advice be to your ninth grade child as far as tests?
It's a great question, and admittedly super biased, of course. One is look, don't take any tests more than three times at the very most.
Agreed.
You know, I really, really hate to see the way some students can be kind of demoralized, like, you know, they're taking the SAT or something like seven or eight times, trying to get the next rung up in terms of scholarship dollars. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. And like what we say in terms of prep is the same thing we say with actual testing, of like, what we want to cultivate at the end of the day is a rich love of learning. Students who love reading.
Hold on. Yep. You're saying you want to cultivate a love of learning?
That is a goal. Yes.
Oh, my. That is such a homeschool goal. That's great. So keep going.
Oh, yeah. And Leah, I'll tell you this as well. You know, after every test for the past 5 years, I haven't done this 100% of the time, but I typically call the families who are in the top, the first, second, or third top score recipient, just to say congratulations. You know, 40% of our homeschool students, of our students are homeschool, but over 75% of those top score students are homeschool students. You know, they stand out. These are amazing students. And so really, 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 we, you know, the relationship we have with the homeschool community is a very good one. It's one that we're very proud of as well.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay. So any other advice that you would give your child?
I'd say take maybe two. Don't take the SAT, the ACT, and the CLT. Another very practical point of advice is this, is that if your son or daughter is stronger verbally than they are over quantitative reasoning, the CLT is their test. And here's the reason why. Mm-hmm. On the SAT, quantitative reasoning and verbal reasoning are 50-50. Mm-hmm. On the CLT, verbal reasoning essentially counts for 2/3 of your test score, overall test score. Quantitative reasoning only counts for 1/3 of your test score, 40 points out of the total 120 points. And so what we have found is that students who maybe they took the SAT and they got a 720 on the reading, but they only got a 560 on the math, they have found that their composite score, their overall score, is going to be way better on the CLT, because we heavily weigh, and we value math, of course, no doubt, but we weigh verbal heavier than we do the quantitative reasoning section.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so often what I will recommend to people is that they have their children take a practice CLT at home, a practice SAT at home, a practice ACT at home, because each of these tests is so very different. It's possible for your child to totally ace one of them and completely bomb the other one, even though they're standardized. So you really want to choose the test that's best for you. Once you've done that, then I do recommend that at least at this time, students also have either an SAT or an ACT test score to go along with their CLT, because there are some colleges that still want to see one of those assessments. And I don't want anybody to be unable to get a scholarship for that reason.
Yeah, that's great. And between the two of them, it used to be when I was a college counselor before the Common Core alignment, based on some academic strength, I would recommend one test over the other. I actually don't think with the new SAT that it matters. You'll hear different things a lot of times, but I actually think, Anthony John Green, he is the highest paid SAT, ACT tutor in America. He charges $1,500 an hour, which is totally insane. But when he first looked at the new SAT, he said, this is basically a carbon copy of the ACT. So the tests are similar enough at this point that I really don't think it makes a huge difference between those two. They're pretty similar at this point.
Right. So one thing we didn't talk about, though, is what kind of math is on the CLT, because I know students, there's so much pressure to, you know, get as much math as possible. And I just want to put everybody at ease. It is very unusual for a high schooler to get all the way to calculus in high school. It's possible, but it doesn't always happen that often. Nobody panic. But I would like to know, in terms of the CLT, how much math is on that, and what are the rough percentages there?
Yeah, I think, Lee, if you talk to a former CLT test taker, many will tell you that the math was actually the hardest portion of it. So there's 40 questions. We do go all the way up to trig. There's typically only three or four trig questions on the CLT math component. But there's also questions that actually don't neatly fall into an Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, or trig category. These are basic logic questions that used to be very commonplace on the SAT. Never really on the AC, but very commonplace on the old SAT. These are aptitude questions, and we're basically trying to get a sense of the student's reasoning ability.
Wow. Okay, good. So there's about three or four questions in trigonometry, but the vast majority, so that would leave us, what, 36 questions that are Algebra 2 or lower?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and don't be discouraged. I mean, it is the case. So one of the things CLT is trying to do, and Lee, if you've had a chance before to look at a CLT concordance chart, you'll notice that it looks kind of funny. And here's the reason why. If a student gets a 114 or higher on the CLT, it is actually off the chart on the SAT or ACT. In fact, all of the students so far collectively who have come to us with either a 36 or a 1600, those students average about a 112, high 112, 112.8 or so on the CLT. It's harder than either test. And that's why if a student gets a 115, their projected SAT or ACT score is literally off the charts, meaning the SAT or ACT can't actually capture where that student is at academically. And it's one of the ways CLT has grown is that many schools, MIT, even Harvard, we've been in close contact with them over the past couple of years as more and more students who maybe they have a 35, maybe they got a 1570, and they realize, you know what, a 1570 when you're applying to MIT isn't really that special anymore.
Not helpful.
Yeah, right. But what they will do is they'll take the CLT and they'll submit that as a supplemental. And that is actually more and more kind of a way to stand out for sure.
Yeah.
Also, say the last five questions are brutal on the CLT math component.
Say that one more time.
The last four or five questions are pretty brutal on the CLT math. And
trigger logic.
I've taken it many times myself and don't do well. So they're it's tough for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And so for parents that are concerned about math, et cetera, the SAT and the ACT, the math level is so low that if your student is advanced in math, they do want to go to MIT or Harvard. They do have calculus and trig. The problems on the SAT or ACT are such low level. That's why they have to test prep math, even if they're in calculus, because they won't remember how to quickly do Algebra 1 or geometry. Yep. And so I'm finding that actually very encouraging that your math is that hard, because I think that's one of the reasons why when kids get onto the college campus, they have to be given a placement test to know that they actually can be put in the right math classes, because the SAT or ACT is just not doing it for them.
Yeah.
So. Okay, fantastic. Well, if is there any other questions that anybody wanted to ask? Now is your chance. I will say that Kristen chimed in and she said she was able to easily arrange accommodation for her students, and their accessibility during by the phone is simple and fast. So that is encouraging. And awesome. You can't imagine my shock at hearing a test prep company having good customer service. I just think that's fantastic, Jeremy. So good job.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't see any other questions coming in. Oh, no, here it is. Somebody is just saying what a blessing the CLT is. I'll definitely be signing my daughter up for this. You're a homeschool dad. You want to eat at Chick-fil-A and you cultivate the love of learning. I'm sold. So that's great. I sort of feel the same way when you said that, cultivate the love of learning. I'll tell you, with homeschool parents, that is our overall goal. And sometimes we stress out about the details of getting there, as if this test would measure it, or that test, or that experience, or literary analysis would measure it. But no, that love of learning is this life skill that we want our kids to experience. So,
this has been a joy. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, it's a blessing to have you, and thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time. Thanks. Right, bye, Jeremy.
Bye-bye.